Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, November the 8th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 5, page 67, in How It Works, starting with the first paragraph. We avoid retaliation or argument. And we'll be reading this one paragraph only. It ends with tolerant view of each and every one. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Gracie D. for the 12 steps, Des M. for the 12 traditions. Readers of our text are Jordan L., Darian K., and Julie E. B. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice P. M., and Reggie O. will do our announcements, and Lynn has been nice enough to record our meeting today. The share ID yesterday, Thursday, November the 7th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,633. That's 13633. And the share ID for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting this morning for November 8th, 2019, is 13,635. That's 13635. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Gracie D. to read our 12 steps of OA. Gracie? Star 1 to unmute, please. Gracie D.
Good morning. This is Gracie D. in Southern California. Grateful recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
And thank you, Gracie D., for reading our 12 steps of OA. Des M. is going to read our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, Sherry. This is Des M., recovered compulsive reader from Long Beach, California. These are our 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media, public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
And thank you, Desmond, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. And that does include your mute button on your phone, so please don't use that or speaker phone and just press star 1 to mute and unmute. We'd appreciate it. That way we have a nice quiet meeting today. Thank you. So today we're resuming our study of the Big Book on page 67. And how it works on the first paragraph, beginning with, we avoid retaliation or argument. And would Jordan L. start reading, please? Jordan?
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. So we avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. So I'm grateful to be on the line with you guys this morning. This paragraph... My initial reaction was that I really didn't want to share on this paragraph. I've talked about this a lot before, but I have a real problem with rage. And it seemed that when I put the food down, the rage came up like it hadn't ever before. And I don't know if that's actually true. Like, maybe I was super rageful when I was in the food and I was just more numb to it. I wasn't aware or present enough to understand that, understand the way in which I was affecting the people around me. I can't know for sure, but this was a really, really, really difficult thing for me when I first came in, and I had a lot of shame around it because I couldn't seem to stop arguing with the people that were closest to me, including my boyfriend and some other family members. And so I tried to, I almost had to take like this kindly and tolerant view of myself at first, and not to give myself an excuse to rage out on someone else, or to retaliate or argue with them, but because I truly couldn't seem to stop doing it, no matter how hard I tried. So when I was able to take a step back and see that, like, a lot of times I was retaliating or arguing in order to isolate myself, in order to, like, get other people away from me, because at this point I was very new to this asking God for care and protection. And I didn't completely trust it right away. So I'd still use argument as a way to, like, care for and protect myself. Like, that's truly, looking back now, I know truly that's what I was doing. I'm not this awful person who just rages out on everyone around me. I was protecting myself, you know? So it took me a second to, when I say a second, I actually mean like a couple of years, to avoid retaliation and argument. It's a process. It continues to evolve for me. I continue to be better and better at this. A good example, last night, my boyfriend is an alcoholic. I'll wrap it up. He's recovered, but he still gets into restless, irritable, and discontented, and acts like an ass. These days I'm getting to a point where I can avoid retaliating against him, and I can just give him some space. And then we get up the next day and we're all good. So, it's an evolution. Thank you for listening. That's all I got.
And thank you, Jordan L., for getting us started. So we are in Chapter 5, How It Works. We're on page 67, the first paragraph. Who would like to share this morning?
Irene B.
Gotcha, Irene?
Yes, please.
Julie E.B.?
Julie E.B.? Come on in. It's a great paragraph to share on.
Anne Marie M.?
Okay, so I heard Anne Marie M., and somebody came in right
behind. Joanne B.
That's Joanne.
Thank you.
Beverly R. Beverly R.
I have you, Beverly R. One more.
Margaret K.
Margaret K. Okay, we've got our lineup. We have Irene B., Julie E.B., Anne Marie M., Joanne B., Beverly R., Margaret K. Irene B., go ahead, please. Followed by Julie. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I love, love, love these paragraphs. And I found the previous share very helpful, very insightful, very, oh my gosh, and I don't remember what it is, but something about, I'm going to have to hear it again, it was powerful. I retaliate in argument. You know, I am in a bad relationship, and I try to not necessarily retaliate, but argue and make my point. Oh, that's what it is. When I argue and not necessarily retaliate, I am protecting myself because I cannot trust God to protect me. I have to protect me. I have to make my case. And when I do that, you know what? I don't make my case because I'm not God and I cannot change people's minds. So I cannot protect myself. I have to trust God. That's He will protect me, you know, and I'm finding a way to maybe speak in generalities and speak in terms of programs, speak in terms of my own experience instead of you. And hopefully my sponsor has said God is powerful and He will do His work. It's like I am trusting that God will do His work. I love that. I love that when I argue, I am protecting myself. Now, another part that I love about this paragraph is that how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. That includes me. So if I learn to be kind towards other people, maybe I will learn to be kind to me. because to me, everybody is okay and I'm not. Back in the old days of psychology, I'm okay and you're okay. Well, in my book, you're okay and I'm not. On the one hand. On the other hand, you know, I very much want to get my way. So it's very convoluted and confusing. But you're okay and I'm not. That's really my basic philosophy of life, and that's how I ended up in self-hatred, because you're okay and I'm not, and if I were okay, you would love me. You would approve of me. You would include me. You would like me. You would appreciate me. You would value me. So if I am kind to other, tolerant of other people, and start to do that towards myself, maybe I will learn to start to accept, respect,
time,
and love myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. Julie E. B., you're up, followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. I'm gratefully recovering in Colorado Springs. It's funny, I'm trying to send an email, and it was about a time, it was responding to something, a disagreement that I had with someone. And so as I get further into the email, I find myself getting into a mindset where I can retaliate or argue. And I can't. I can simply state my values, opinions, and show that I was listening to the other person, and that we don't have to agree. For me, the way it works is we say, God, please save us from being angry. And the reason that this is added on is because, I mean, I really enjoy, you know, Nessa's presentation on the sixth step, but one of our special editions, because she talks about the action steps we take to be willing. And one of the action steps that I take to show God my willingness that God would save me from anger is that I don't take action steps like retaliation or argument. This is literally saying, by the way, we just can't go into this behavior of not just having anger, but then extending it into the world with actions. You know, we wouldn't do that to someone who was sick, because when we're in argument, when I'm in argument, let me speak for myself, when I'm in argument, my ideas and opinions are the center. So I become essentially selfish again, which will kill me. So, you know, this is, I mean, considering I now have three teenage young adults, if you could only hear our family discussions and meals, just avoiding this is like avoiding landmines for me. But look at the promise that's there. Look at the beautiful promise that's there, the way that God can shift and change our relationships. My husband and I are at so much peace compared to the way we used to live our lives. And God has done that. So if I'm going to pray, God, save me from being angry, I'm going to say, please help me to avoid worry, help me to avoid retaliation argument, because that's just opening the can of worms right back up again. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. Anne Marie M., you're up, followed by Joanne B. Anne Marie, good morning. Star 1 to unmute, please, Anne Marie M. Anne Marie?
There we go. Sorry about that. Pushed the wrong buttons. This is Anne Marie M., gratefully recovering in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I, too, use this as part of my sick man's prayer, and keeping in mind that I am the sick man, not the other person. When I say that sick man's prayer, I'm praying that God helps me to see this other person as being sick. And then I also add on, you know, for God to please help me to avoid retaliation and argument. I cannot be of help to anybody else if I am in an argumentative mood or trying to get them to see my side. And I also like the St. Francis prayer, and that is found on page 99 in the 12 and 12, where it says, you know, we seek rather to understand than to be understood. And if I can keep that in mind when I want to retaliate or make sure the other person sees my point of view, because, you know, my point of view, I always thought was, and still do sometimes think, that is more important than the other person's point of view, I get myself in trouble. So it's really important for me, and I'm learning more and more, to stay in contact with God throughout the day, asking that we avoid, you know, that I avoid retaliation and argument. I can't do that on my own. I figured that out. I have to ask God for help. It's a character defect, and I've learned that my character defects don't go away by me doing things, but instead by asking God for his grace to help me through it. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
And thank you, Anne-Marie M. Joanne B., you're up, followed by Beverly R. Joanne, good morning.
Good morning. This is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. This whole step has been such a blessing to me. It was at this time that I realized, well, lights started going off, really going off about my behavior and how it was affecting me and others, and how dangerous. You know, we read the other day that the grouch and the brainstorm isn't for us, and I have to remind myself this often, because when I go back into my self-protection, that was a defense mechanism, wanting to be heard all the time. And so I would be arguing with people because I wanted to be heard. And I don't know if I retaliated very much, mainly just argued and held in these grudges. And when I learned that this was what was going to kill me, and that I didn't have this I don't have this luxury to hold on to this, because of its poison and it's dangerous. And I learned how, through this program and through all of you, how to let my higher power change me, how to let it go and let God. That was when the first time that that phrase even came, where I understood what in the world it meant. And but when I did, I started seeing more peace, and not only inner peace, but like a fellow said ahead of me, that calm and peace in the home. It's just absolutely amazing. And if I'm not careful, if I don't do my work every day and work through my, you know, the 10 steps when I do become irritated, then it doesn't take long that I start wanting to be heard again, not realizing, I forget that my higher power does hear me, and what I think is important, I start wanting everybody else to hear me too. And so I'm so grateful for this program. It has just given me a new way of life, and thank you for all of you on the line. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Joanne B. Beverly R., you're up, followed by Margaret K. Beverly, good morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Hi, good morning, my OA family. And I'm just thinking of the line, the grouch and the brainstorm are not for us. And I'm not sure, the brainstorm is kind of like a storm of rage, just pouring out. And before I came into OA, and even afterwards, rage was my go-to emotion. Anger and rage were my go-to emotion. And I even went to an anger management class at one point in time, and I'm still thinking of going back to that anger management class. And I I like to say that I had five siblings, one passed. There were five of us with siblings, one passed, and we all have a terrible temper, and I'm no exception. I say my two sisters are like volcanoes, and I'm like a boiling pressure cooker. And I remember even as a child, when I was in a really bad mood or someone had done something I really hated, I would go into my bed and put my head to the wall and just be pouting and fussing and fuming to myself. And my aunt would say, look at Bev there, pouting and fussing and fuming as usual. And I don't know, I remember I used to be a teacher, and I was teaching at a high school in Jamaica, and one of the teachers did criticize me, and of all things, she told a lie, and I let her have it. Every time I saw her for quite a while, I let her have it, and oh my goodness, I created chaos in that staff room. And I wondered why I had such a hard time with the teachers. But that I pass, I pray that God will take away my rage, my anger, and help me to be loving towards myself and towards others, and not to be afraid of intimacy, and not to drive other people away with my anger and my rage. And it's Beverly in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thanks for listening. And I would really like to hear from the first.
There we are. And before we hear from Margaret Kay, just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 67 and how it works. Paragraph 1, we avoid retaliation or argument. And so Margaret Kay is going to share, and be ready to jump in to share after Margaret Kay. Margaret, good morning. Margaret Kay, star one to unmute, please.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Margaret.
Can I be heard? Hello, can I be heard?
Go ahead, please.
Yes, you can be heard.
Hi, this is...
Go ahead, Margaret.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. Hi, my name is Margaret. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and thank you so much. Before I share, I wanted to just thank you. This is my 9th week of abstinence, and it's my longest abstinence I've had, and feeling my life is changing for so much better. This reading hits really home for me today, because starting two days ago, I have experienced this. Someone shared how a lot of times I do feel like I am less than. And so as I was substitute teaching for long term, there is a feeling in me that I am being watched, and I don't meet up to expectation. I have to always prove myself. So when I plan things and when plans change, I get very upset. Not at just this time, but other times. I feel like people are not respecting me, they're getting in my way, and I feel very angry, and I got upset one of the teachers. And it was inappropriate, you know, and realizing what I did, and, you know, with the suggestion of my sponsor, I made amends to her, and she says, don't worry about it, you know, it seems like business, you know, yesterday, because of my decision, and it wasn't in a bad way that I made, but everybody, all the teachers are affected, and I realized, you know, we all make mistakes. you know, I make mistakes, they make mistakes, and we're doing the best that we can. So, you know, like, I don't need to be so upset at people. And so that was a real, real lesson, and I think God was really teaching me. And I've been at the school before last year, too, and last year was so much worse. I was there for a good 4 months, and I was angry and upset, and it's either I'm, like, worst or I'm the best. And it really humbled me because this feeling of being angry at people and, you know, lashing out, it really, it's not just hard for other people, but it keeps me from being abstinent. And it's a terrible feeling, and I'm working on it, and I'm just beginning to work on, you know, just allowing to let go of this. And today, you know, it's my last day, and, you know, I'm gonna, my sponsor suggests that I, you know, have good closing, and some of them, part of me, like my ego, okay, so I'm just going to be humble and let God take care of this for me. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a good day. I pass.
Thank you, Margaret K. And now, just reminding everybody, we're on page 67, paragraph 1. Who would like to share?
Mo H.
Okay, I heard Mo H.
Jackie H.
Jackie H. We got the H's going, okay.
Lisa G.
Lisa G. Three more. Love to hear
Nadia
you.
B.
Nadia B.
Sherry A.
Did I hear Terry A?
Yes,
A is
Sherry.
An apple. Okay.
Sherry.
Did you say Terry or Sherry? You sound far
Sherry
away.
Sherry with an
S. Sherry. Sorry about that, Sherry.
Thanks.
Okay. And who's the last one I'd like to share?
Betsy QK.
Betsy QK. All right. All right, we have our lineup. We have Mo H, Jackie H, Lisa G, Nadia B, Sherry A, and Betsy QK. Mo H, good morning.
Good morning, Sherry. And good morning to all. Thank you for your service, Sherry. Good work getting us lined up and getting it all going. I'm Mo H, recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Well, I have here written in my book, hurt people hurt people. And it goes around and around and around. So what I did with my anger, Ian says we avoid retaliation or argument. What I did with my anger is I turned it inward. I turned it against myself. And I hurt myself more than I hurt others. Yes, I did hurt others. I'm not saying I didn't, but I hurt it myself more by consuming extreme amounts of food and not being available and not being present for my children during those years. But this program has really helped me see my part, which I love this when we do the fourth step and when I do my 10 steps, help me see my part that when I am gone inward and when I am angry at myself, I need to look at what's going on, what else is going on. And when I get into that state of being so angry with myself, I do retaliate and I do lash out. And so one of the behaviors that I am practicing is to pause and to pray. We have to hear this pause, pray, and proceed. And I ask for God's guidance, and I love those prayers. God, save me from being angry. Thy will, not mine, be done. I was very angry the other night that because my computer went belly up and, you know, caca whammy, and now I'm getting ready to go away, and now I have to make a trip to the Apple Store. Blah. And what happened is I lashed out at my husband. Not fair. Not fair. And I did make amends to him. I apologized for my behavior. I said, I'm very anxious about my trip, and now I have to deal with this computer issue. But so we ask God to show, I ask God to show me how to take a kind and tolerant view of myself. as well as others. And it says here, we cannot be helpful to all people. And I have to remember that. I can't be helpful to everyone. I can only be helpful to myself and those around me. And but this, just taking this kind and tolerant view of myself, which really helps me then to be kind and tolerant toward you. And with that, I pass.
Mo H. Jackie H., you're up, followed by Lisa G. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Well, this hits very, very close to home today. Because a couple of days ago, well, I had purchased something. I won't go into the whole story, but my resentment was towards a company, and I had dealt with several customer service people. It wasn't just one person, and it was a mess, and I really, really felt justified. I struggled with this because I felt justified, and I did argue. I argued my point because I felt like that their advertising was misleading, and I just did. For 2 days, and I didn't, and honestly, I have to just own this and call myself out. I didn't do a 10th step right away because I felt like I was justified. I just got lost in myself. I got lost in defending myself, and it took me back to this last paragraph on page 66, that the wrongdoings of others fancied are real. Perhaps it was real. Their advertising is misleading. That's not the point. What happened here is that because I got so wrapped up in being right and holding on to my resentment, it did take me out of being helpful. It really, really did. How could I be helpful when I was harboring this resentment and just wanting to argue, and I did want to retaliate. And what kept coming back to me, and I still haven't, I have not sat down, and I've done the 10th step in my head, but I'm going to sit down and put on paper. I don't know why I let this go, because that's not normal for me to do, but I'm going to sit down and do a 10th step on this, because I want to be free of this. And what keeps coming to my mind is I was just defending, right? That's what I had to defend my position. And what kept coming to my mind, and this might blow somebody away, it blew me away when I first started practicing it, is that in my defenselessness, my safety lies. And that kept coming to me. That's what brought me out of my self-pity and my victimhood, is that I wasn't feeling safe. I wasn't safe. I was acting out, but there's nothing for me to defend on. If I really believe with all my heart that I am God's kid and that I'm not going to be harmed and that I'm going to be taken care of and that I am sustained by the love of God, if I really believe that and I speak it, then act like it. And so I had to get check up a little bit. And so I'm waking up. I'm waking up, and I get to wake up again and see that what harms me is my story about, thank you, is my story about the situation, not so much what happened. And so in my defenselessness, my safety lies. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Lisa B., you're up, followed by Nadia B. Lisa G., good morning.
Good morning. It's Lisa G., recovered in Texas. You know, I've always wanted to be right. Most of my life that I can remember, I want to be right. I want you to learn from me. I want you to do what I ask you to do. I want you to see how wise I am. And these steps are teaching me, like, what a lie all that is and how miserable I've been. Because I want you to be right. And I've heard a lot of times from different people, you know, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And I always thought that being right made me happy. But really the struggle to get that other person to agree with me to do what I said creates a lot of strife. And, you know, a great example is one of my best girlfriends, who I adore. And you know, she's like a sister to me. She won't talk to me anymore because of political differences. And I tried for a while to have her see my way of thinking. Not that I wanted her to agree with me, but I just wanted her to say, well, that's okay. You know, we disagree, but that's okay. And she wouldn't. She wouldn't. And I haven't spoken to her, texted with her in months. And, you know, it really broke my heart, but she was part of my fourth step. And now I just have to, you know, it's not like the feelings don't come up, the feelings of sadness. But, you know, God gave me a great gift the other night. I had this dream that she reconciled with me and that she was hugging me and telling me she loved me and how much she missed me. And it was just the most wonderful, wonderful thing. And I just think that was a miracle, you know, that God gave me that dream. And like last night, I did a 10 step over two other people. And, you know, the friend that I was giving the 10 step to, when I got, I didn't even get through. And she said, do you hear what you're saying? She, he, what about you? I was like, oh yeah, that. So it's a definite different way to think. And it's a lot better way to think because I feel good this morning. I don't feel yucky and sad and depressed. I feel pretty darn good. So, and it's all because of these steps. So again, I'll just say if you are not feeling good, and you're wondering if you're ever going to get through these steps, I really didn't think anything would change in me. I really didn't, but it has. It has. And I'm happy. And I want that for everybody else, too. So anyways, thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. And Nadia B., you're up, followed by Sherry A. Nadia, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for your service, Nadia B. Gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. I was just listening to everybody. What a beautiful, beautiful process for us here in step four, where I get to see my thinking, my obsessive alcoholic thinking in slow motion. I had to be very slow and deliberate in that. You know, in step three, I made the decision to stop feeding that thinking. I saw that it was killing me. It's a daily decision for me. Every morning, I am the beginner. I'm at the very beginning of establishing new vital attitude for my life, new center of the universe for me, which is a big change for me in my disease, in my resentment. When I'm disturbed, it looks like I'm the center of it all. I'm the center of the universe. And I needed this change so much. I was dying with this perspective, you know, killing myself with fork and a knife, as we call it. And this change is everything I hope for. You know, if I continue with my old attitude, I will die in this disease, in rage, in depression, in root of all of this. Food was just a symptom. You know, God has to be the center of it all. At first, I have to trust my choice every day. Of that answer of my decision, you know, that I made in step three. What is God? God either is or he's not, you know, made that decision. And I keep confirming that decision. And if for that, I need a six-man's prayer. I use it every time, you know, I become the center again in my thinking. In my distorted alcoholic thinking, the third step prayer is very valuable to me. It helps me with the change of perspective when my mind habitually just goes, drifts to this place, to this very dangerous place for an addict like me, that puts me in the center again. And, you know, I love that last paragraph that says, God will show us how to take kindly and tolerant view each and every one, and I get to look at each and every person. All I have to do is look, and that is a daily decision for me, and I choose for God to show me the way. And just very grateful to do that with you one day at a time, guys. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
This is new to me.
Nadia C. and Sherry A., you're up, followed by Betsy C.K. Sherry?
Can everybody hear me?
You could get closer to the phone, please. And if you're on speaker, please get off and just be on the phone regularly, please.
No, I'm not on speaker. Hold on one second.
That might be better. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's a headset that I wear that doesn't always connect good. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sherry. I am a compulsive, grateful compulsive eater, and I'm traveling, and so I need to find a way to get to meetings. And this was great because when I heard with the paragraph, and I realized what we were reading, it's just like I had just had a conversation I made. I'm on a three-hour time difference because I came from Florida to California. So I've been getting up at my time, Florida, for the last 4 or 5 days. So I made outreach calls first thing this morning because it was 3 hours later. And I was talking with a friend about all of this and how they had gone to some affair. And she was watching all the people in their disease. And it's interesting because I actually was quoting from this particular pages in the big book, and you know, reminding her and myself that we have to realize that we are in recovery and the people out there are not. And it's very important for me to remember that. But the other part of it is also learning what can I do differently. And I actually wrote in my page 67, first of all, I wrote the fourth column of the inventory, and on the opposite side I wrote, what would I do differently? And learning to step back and believe, and see that I also, no matter what, I have a part in it. And so retaliation is not an option. I'm a tremendous, I believe that I had to be right all the time. There's something from my childhood that I believe that I needed to be right. And it could be because I wasn't heard. It could have been because I had, you know, sick relatives telling me things that probably were not correct. And so I ended up having to prove myself to the world. And that's very, very hard habit to break. And especially when you're in a long-term relationship that I am with my husband since we've been married for 50 years. And it's a big bone of contention sometimes in our marriage. But that's another place where I say, do I want to be right or do I want to be loved? And so I like the fact that God will show me the way. I like the fact that I also ask God to please save me from being angry. And I also like the fact that I have now come back to the rooms of recovery that show me how to deal with life. And it's a gift. This is all a gift. And this meeting is fantastic. I like this format, and you'll probably hear from me because the time difference has got me so messed up. I normally did what you call your 6:45 meeting, and that was great because when I was on the East Coast, that was 9:45. So this might work out a little better. But I just want to thank everyone for being here, and thank everyone for being a part of my recovery. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry A. Betsy 2K, you're going to take us out. You have about 2 minutes, please.
Okay, thank you. Hi, this is Betsy QK in Colorado, a recovered bulimic compulsive overeater. I can really, this part of the big book obviously applies to me as well, and my self-centeredness. And, you know, that's kind of like the nature of my disease, is thinking about me, myself, what I need to feel better, and then reacting out of fear when I'm not getting my needs met, instead of what I have learned through the steps and in recovery, is that all of my needs will be taken care of in the right time, in the right way, if I practice, you know, these principles in all of my affairs, that God is there for me in every situation, even when I can't feel it or see the evidence. But when, you know, I've spent a lot of time being right, especially in my marriage, and even have gotten a lot of validation from the outside world that I'm right, you know, in my relationship with my husband and that he's wrong. And the problem with that is that it did not fix anything. And it only made me sicker. For a long time, I really adrenalized off of self-righteous anger. It was like a feeling of power. And now it really makes me feel ill when I get stuck in that. And I do get stuck in that because I'm human, not just a compulsive overeater. I'm human. And what happens for me is if I stay in that human condition of being self-centered and fearful and trying to be right and force my will, then what happens as a compulsive overeater is I'm going to eat over it. So I think everybody on the planet struggles with these issues. It's just that I self-destruct with food and addictions, which is not what I want to do anymore. So I'm grateful for a way out, but it's like weeds in your garden. They're going to keep growing. I'm going to keep having situations that I have to then get back into balance with. And that is what the steps give me in this program and the recovery. I don't have to be perfect all the time. I just have to be willing to look at my part and rectify when I've done something wrong. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Betsy 2K. And that's all the time we have for sharing today. What a great meeting, folks. Thank you all so much for your service and your sharing today. And I want to thank Team Friday, Gracie D, Des M, Julie E.B., Jordan L., Janice P.M., Reggio, and Lynn S. So with that being said, let's go ahead, and we're going to be closing soon. But before we do, we're going to hear from Julie E.B. She's going to be reading page 164, starting with, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only," and keep you until then. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will certainly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you